episode 63. Holy shit, I think we're back on track.
Are we? What do you mean?
Well, then I'm done kind of being sad and like shitty and stuff.
Are you?
No, I think I'm just going to be a bitch. I think I'm angry now. I think I'm done with the like the depression part.
Oh, now we're moving through the seven stages of grief. We're on anger.
Maybe I'm feisty as fuck, and that's good.
Okay.
And so I think, and I've got some good stuff. We just recorded 3 days ago, and I have like a whole show's worth of stuff to talk about by myself.
Fantastic.
Can I tell you what happened this morning?
What's this morning?
Okay. I have long nails right now, and I don't typically have long nails, so I don't know how to work with them. You know, some people, all they have is long nails, and they clickety-clack, and they know how to do everything.
I got rid of mine. I mean, I used to wear mine longer. Now I keep them shorter, and I'm happy.
Yeah, well, whatever. Typically, I don't have them long. So I was getting ready to go into the shower this morning, and I was taking my shirt off, and my thumbnail scratched my nipple, and my nipple bleeding. I just looked down and I'm like, my nipple bleeding.
And not because of anything good.
No, it's not like someone was gnawing on it and I felt great about it. It was just because I ripped it open with like my talon of a thumbnail and it's bleeding. I have a Band-Aid on my nipple.
You had to put a Band-Aid on it? It didn't just stop bleeding?
I got in the shower. I washed it. I cleaned it. I came back out. It was oozing blood. And I'm like, I don't want to get that in my t-shirt. So I put a Band-Aid on it. And I thought it was really funny because one of my nipples has a Band-Aid on it. And I'm not even trying not to show my nipples. It's Saturday. I'm going to be watching screeners all day. I'm not wearing a bra anyway.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. This weekend, that's why I have no makeup on. And I'm sporting like a gigantic zit in the middle of my forehead, which apparently...
Oh, I mean, the zit just came because you're watching screeners this weekend?
No, I said I'm sporting a zit. So it's, I haven't put any makeup on it. I haven't done anything because we're just going to watch screeners this weekend.
Honey,
so
makeup's not going to cover that thing.
Listen, fuck you. Don't be a bitch. Nobody likes a bitch. It's too early in the morning here. Oh, hey, but you told me I'm looking up. This is our PSA for the day. Apparently, almonds medicated powder in the original scent, been around since 1902.
Yes. You know who told me about it?
Who?
My Aunt Sandy, who's dead because she died of a methamphetamine overdose, but she's the one that told me about it.
Wait, rewind, back up.
Told you about this.
Why don't we know about an aunt that died of a methamphetamine overdose?
Oh, because it was sad. It was kind of tragic.
When did this happen?
This summer.
I don't remember you telling me about a drug overdosed aunt.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
Which side of the fam was this on?
My mother's side. Well,
how many sisters did your mom have? Because crazy aunt was on your mom's side, right?
Yeah, she wasn't my mom's sister. She was her sister-in-law, ex-sister-in-law.
Oh, thank God. Okay, so it wasn't actually a blood relative.
No.
Like someone... I'm such a snob. Like that would make such a difference.
Like that makes a difference.
Thank God it wasn't a straight directed like bloodline drug overdose death. That's really sad, and I do not remember you telling me that. But there's been a lot.
She was 70.
What?
And doing crystal meth.
She was doing crystal meth at 70. How did she make it to 70?
I don't know.
Who knows?
She had congestive heart failure for like 15 years because of it. It was very tragic.
She was doing crystal meth. She had congestive heart failure and she was an alcoholic and she made it to 70? Dude.
69. Yeah, she was 69. She would have turned 70.
She needed to write some sort of like a health book for people who like, this is what you need to do if you want to live long.
Yeah,
can you imagine how long she would have lived if she hadn't been doing any of that? Holy crap. She must have had 9 lives.
I don't know. It was very, very sad. Very, very sad because she was an amazing person. This is the PSA. Don't do drugs that kill you. Don't do drugs that kill you.
That was a backdoor PSA. The PSA was for almonds medicated powder.
Which she turned
been
me on
around
to,
since 1902. Hey, listen.
Let's talk about it for a second. Okay. The almonds.
Yeah.
It's like a baby powder.
Okay.
And I used to use it like before when I would, like before I'd wax so that you had like a barrier. But she turned me on to the fact that when you get a zit, you can like at night, put a little dab of this almonds powder on it, you know?
Right.
And cover it, and it will help to dry out the oils and stuff in the zit. And I'll tell you, swear by it.
Really? Because sometimes I get those with my adult, whatever, my hormone acne. I don't get that much of it because I have it under control now because I give my dermatologist a fucking fortune every year.
Yes.
But so all the stuff is mostly under control, but I got to tell you, when I do get one, I don't really break out, but every now and then I'll get one rogue zit and it is a doozy. Like it's not just, you know, a little, or you get a few little breakouts or whatever. I'll just get one and it'll be gigantic.
That's what you're rocking now.
I'm starting one. Yeah. And even the last time, and I never, you know, my dermatologist is far enough away. They keep meaning to open an office in my city because they've been expanding like crazy because they charge a fortune to the insurance company, not to me. I shouldn't bitch.
Right.
But I have to drive like a half an hour to get there. So it's not really worth driving out there just to have them. Because have you ever had them inject your zits? Have you ever done that?
No. If
you get a pimple, that's like a pimple, they inject it and it dries it out. I don't know. And it dries it out and it goes away. And there've only been a few times where I actually, luck would have it, that I was getting a pimple right like the day before I was going to go in, or the day of, or, you know, the week of, whatever.
Right.
And, you know, there was one time they injected it and I'll tell you, it went away like that. But there was another time, this last time, where it was one of the monster ones and I was there at the beginning of it. They injected it and it was on a Thursday or Friday or whatever. So over the weekend, on the Friday, I'm like, 2 days later, I called them back to say, I think I might need to come in again and get another injection. It didn't work. Like, it's still here and it's still, you know, getting bigger. And they were like, no, you have to wait through the weekend. Sometimes it can take a couple of days. And it worked. You know, it did take like
that. But what's the difference between having the injection and just waiting until it cleared up on its own then?
Because when I have a monster zit, especially because I can't keep my fingers off of it and I will pick it, by the time it heals, it could be weeks. Like, I could be with that thing for 2 or 3 weeks by the time it finally heals. This was 5 days. I got the injection on Thursday, and by Monday morning, it was ready to kind of be, like, gone.
What are you, a leper? You're picking your head off? What are you doing?
No, but, you know, you extract it, and sometimes it doesn't work, and it just makes it bigger, and then it just gets bigger and bigger. Or it gets, like, scabbed over, and then by the time the scab heals, it's 3 weeks.
Wow.
This is lovely talk. Lovely.
Why are we talking about your zit?
But because you were telling me about almonds. Medicated powder. Been around since 1902.
Right. Okay.
So I looked it up. And I never in a million years would have thought I'm going to put this on my zit because it talks about soothing minor skin irritations, helps prevent chafing, helps keep foot cool and dry, the multi-purpose medicated powder. And it talks about being good for things like heat rash, poison ivy, sumac and oak, helps prevent chafing, provides all over deodorant protection and a cool, refreshing feeling.
It does.
Use daily after bathing. Soothes and cools hot, sweaty feet and diaper rash.
It's multi-purpose.
So I would not have thought about this too. So why is it that this, what makes this different than just your regular baby powder or Bonds?
Because it's medicated.
But Bonds is medicated too. So how
Bonds
is it different
would probably
than
do
Bonds?
The same thing. Probably not. Probably do the same thing.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really have an answer for you on that one, but I
need
answers.
I need research. If you're going to give me medical advice, I need research and proof and a couple of possible blind studies.
Yeah, I'll have the AMA get back to you on that. Okay, so, you know, also.
Yes.
In the news.
Yes.
This is where we're going to go into a Girk rant, but first, in the news, fuck David Bowie, Alan Rickman, and Dan Haggerty.
I can't even talk about it. First of all, I didn't even hear about Dan Haggerty until I saw it on somebody's newsfeed on Twitter. But
did you see? Because I got a story to tell about Dan Haggerty.
I can't even talk about Alan Rickman. I can't even. I'm so
devastated
by the loss of Alan Rickman, who was one of my all-time favorite. I would watch any movie if I knew Alan Rickman was in it. All-time favorite actors.
Ugh.
Alan Rickman.
I know. Killed Galaxy me. Quest, one of my favorites.
Galaxy Quest is my favorite movie.
One of the lighter sides. On the lighter side, but such a great, I mean, all
Sense
the way
and
around.
Sensibility.
I would have done him.
I would have done him after Sense and Sensibility.
Oh my, me too. Hello, Captain. Hello, Captain. Let me lift my knickers and my skirt up just a little bit for you.
Yep.
So Dan Haggerty, for those of you out there who don't remember who he was Grizzly Adams in the 70s. And
oh my God, that reminds me of that other crazy sex story that you had. Anyway, go ahead. Sleep apnea guy reminds me of Grizzly Adams.
Yeah. No.
Go back, people. Go back and listen to earlier episodes if you need that story. We're not going to recap it. You're just going to have to go back, troll through.
No.
Take a stroll down memory lane, down Gherkin Keek, double bubble memory lane. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, great. Okay, good times. So there was, I had the pleasure of meeting Dan Haggerty on several occasions. And I was, you know, a little girl when The Adventures of Grizzly Adams was on. And it was a show about a guy who lived in the mountains with a bear, basically.
As people do.
And things would befall him, and he would figure it out in some folksy kind of Walton's way. And it was a good show and whatever. But he was a big guy, and he had a grizzly beard. You know, he was, you know, and kind of after the 70s, really didn't, I'm not aware of what he did. But in the 90s, when I lived in California, there was this little dive bar next to where I worked called the Casting Office, right on Cahuenga there. And I used to frequent that little dive bar quite a bit. And so Dan Haggerty used to go in there from time to time, and I had gotten to know...
Oh, my God. Did you fuck Dan Haggerty?
No, I did not fuck Dan Haggerty.
Oh, that would have made the story really good for me.
Okay. No, but you're going to love the story then. You'll love it even more.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't fuck Dan Haggerty.
Somebody did.
No. Can I just tell the story? So I had the opportunity to get to know him a little bit, and Ruth was in town visiting me.
Blowjob in the bathroom? No? Nothing? Okay.
No. But Ruth was in town, and so we went over to the casting office because I was friends with the bartender. And
oh, God. Please, sweet Jesus, tell me that Dan Haggerty was there when Ruth was there.
He did happen to walk in while we were having a drink.
That's fantastic.
And so I introduced him to my mom, and they ended up, and Ruth totally jumped on that bandwagon.
I'm sure she did. Did Ruth give him a blowjob in the bathroom?
No!
Oh,
you're
okay.
Missing the story! No. So I introduced them, and of course she struck up a lively conversation with him, and they sat and talked for hours, and he bought her a couple drinks, and then there was a song that was playing on the jukebox, and they danced together, and then they continued talking. But you know, mom was a married gal, so at the end of the night they hugged each other and said goodbye. But I am certain that if she wasn't married, my mom would have fucked Grizzly Adams without a doubt. Totally. And I forgot about the story until I saw that he died yesterday.
Aww.
And it just made me think of the story. And
you know what, though? Ruth's waiting for him up in heaven, and she's going to give him the BJ of his life.
I was going to say, she is going to suck him dry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So needless to say, that was a story that I hadn't told. And what's fun for me is I actually got off the phone with my aunt this morning because it's her birthday. And my aunt said, I remember that story your mom told me. She was really excited about that. And then one of the something on Facebook about it yesterday. And my uncle who lives up there is like, I didn't even know that story. And my friend who was with me was like, I remember that. So it was kind of fun. And I've had a lot of, you know, with mom. Mom's only been dead 4 months and 3 days. No, I'm not
kidding. And 42 minutes.
2 hours,
42 minutes. Yeah.
But
17, 18, 19, 20 seconds, 20 21,
seconds.
22.
I digress. No, so it was actually nice to have a story that was like fun and funny, and she was so girlish and excited, and it was flirtatious, and it was nice. It was a really nice memory. So Ruth and Grizzly Adams. Ba-dum-bum-bum, ba-dum-bum. There you go. That's my story about that.
That's my story, and I'm sticking
but,
to it.
But, you know, okay, so this is where I have to get into a Gherk rant.
Uh-oh.
Fuck!
What?
So...
Gherk rant!
Fuck! Cancer. So like I said, we've got...
Who has cancer?
Well, we have Lemmy, who just died a couple weeks ago. Bowie, Rickman, Davis. I mean, I've had, you know, two aunts and my mother. And then, you know, Haggerty. I mean, it's everywhere. I don't think there is anybody in this planet that doesn't know someone who has it, has had it, or has died from it.
Yeah.
And I know then the State of the Union, the president's like, we can cure cancer. Here's where the rant comes. Fuck curing it. Why don't we fucking prevent it? Why are we honest?
Because that ship has sailed, honey. But we needed to do that. The FDA needed to have way stronger regulations about food. And I mean, we needed to have way stronger regulations about everything that we're subjected to. I can't pick up anything or look at anything anymore, shopping or food or products. And every time I turn around, I'm like, oh, wait. All the face stuff that I'm putting on, am I supposed to be using organic face stuff? Because it goes right into your body. Oh, wait, the deodorant. The deodorant has aluminum in it, and that goes right into your body. Right. Oh, wait.
And the chlorine in the water.
The chlorine in the water.
The air you breathe.
The air you breathe. The GMOs and like 90% of our food. Like, there's no way to get away from it. We screwed ourselves when we got away from just whole foods. We should have left our country to the Indians. We should have just done what they did instead of making them go our road. Their road was way better. So they don't have cancer.
No. Not that I'm aware of, but I don't really know that many.
I don't know statistics. I'm just saying they probably don't have cancer because they were all about living off the land. We did nothing. We decided to just rape and pillage them, take their shit, sprinkle some cancer on it, and then disseminate it to the rest of the world.
It wasn't cancer. It was smallpox.
We sprinkled a little smallpox on it. Mm-hmm. And then fast forwarded, a couple hundred years, and now everything is cancer. Cancer.
You can't go anywhere.
The water bottle I drink out of, now I have to read the little... There was a whole news story on reading how you read the numbers and the symbols and the shit on the bottom of all the containers. So you can make sure that if it's this number, you're going to get cancer. If it's that number, you're safe. Do I remember any of those numbers? No.
No, but I think my point is that as a society, we can demand to change this. And my point is that who only benefits from curing cancer? Big pharma. That's who benefits. Because the first thing you have to do is get cancer in order to get cured from cancer. And I appreciate all the donations and all the walks and raising money to fight cancer. We shouldn't have to fight it. We should have to prevent it. That's my whole point. So as someone who has been touched by cancer way too many times, my whole, and I'm guilty of it. I eat stuff and put stuff on me. I'm sure that I have no idea. There's no chance.
I'm sorry, but there's no way. It's a full-time job to make sure that you don't have anything in your house or your body or your whatever that will cause cancer. Everything causes cancer.
Right.
Everything does.
So I was literally at the grocery store today, and every now and again, I will grab a can of beefaroni because it's a comfort.
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah, listen, every now and again, I will grab a can of beefaroni.
What is beefaroni? What is that?
Chef Boyardee beefaroni. Are you kidding me?
Chef Boyardee, like the little O's that have beef in them?
No, that's called SpaghettiOs.
Oh, SpaghettiOs.
The beefaroni is just like a little piece of macaroni. It's got some ground beef or something of that ilk in it. It's just it's a can of fucking processed food.
You have bowel issues and you eat your
would
body
you listen
can
to
handle
what I'm
beefaroni?
Saying? Would you listen to what I'm saying?
Okay.
Every now and again, I will grant, you make it sound like I eat it by the caseload. I will get a can of it could be months, but I will get a can of beefaroni to put in my cupboard when I'm feeling like I need comfort food or something like that. And today was one of those days I'm like, you know what? I don't have any. I'll pick up a can. I'm kind of premenstrual. I'm like, I will have it just in case. And because I'm on this rant about shit in our food, I look at the back of the can and it says ammonium chloride. And I'm like, I want to put ammonia in my body. Thank you. I made a choice. So no more beefaroni.
You put down the beefaroni. Good for you.
Put the beefaroni back.
1956 called. They want their canned food back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what we used to eat? You know what I remember eating? I don't even know that. I'm sure they probably still make it. I remember being in like third grade and my dad would break out the corned beef and hash in a can.
We call that dog food.
Yeah, it's probably smelled like dog food. I remember loving it back then. I was like 8 years old, 7 years old. What the fuck did I know? But it was, little cube and perfect little cubed mystery meat.
Yeah, I'm going to vomit. I'm actually starting to vomit my back of my throat.
Oh, but the beefaroni doesn't make you vomit in the back of your throat.
No, because it's at least discernible. It's not just a cube of something. That's like Spam. I couldn't eat Spam either, even though it's canned.
I'm sorry. My sister came back from Hawaii last year, and whenever she eats something that she likes, she'll sit in her kitchen until she can figure out exactly how to make it. And she made that Spam fried rice that they have over there.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. That stuff is good.
You know what?
Oh, my God. The Hawaiians know how to do it, man. I know Spam is mystery meat, but...
Yeah, it's their number one food.
You fry that shit up and stick it in some fried rice. Holy mother of God. Oh, my mouth is watering. That's good. Yeah. That's good eating.
You know, I this kind of helps me segue into the fact that I recently got like a Fitbit type device.
Did you? Those things are expensive. I realized that we were going to maybe get them for the girls for Christmas because I think they had wanted them. But I'm like, why? They don't know how to use it. It's just a toy for them. But I thought, okay, we'll go get them. I figured they'd be like 20 or 30 bucks.
No,
like 120 bucks.
Yeah, this one, this actually the one, my friend did the research, but it's, I'm using the Garmin Vivo Fit 2, product endorsement actually for once, I think. But so the idea is you're supposed to walk a certain number of steps a day, and it's the middle of winter here and it's freezing cold and I work out of my house. So I knew it was going to be a challenge. I am a Fitbit failure.
You're walking around your house, like power walking circles around your house until you reach your number.
Yeah, so there's a thing on here. And there's a bar, and it gets red and redder and redder and redder by your lack of activity, because it's like
so
loser,
it shames you.
Loser.
So it shames you. So you totally basically shaming. you wear a shame bracelet that makes you feel fat.
I put this on at 10 o'clock. By 11:30, it was already like you're a big loser. You're a loser.
Yeah.
And because I don't even know. It won't be until March maybe that I'll.
My sister-in-law has like
back.
My sister-in-law has some sort of an app on her phone that's similar that goes with her. That I don't know if she has the bracelet or if it's just an app on the phone and she has to have the phone with her, but whatever it does, it measures it. So we were out walking. She was here and we were walking her dog and we're out walking and all of a sudden her phone is like, ding, you have not met your goal. You have not met your goal. And I was like, what is,
you are,
do you have an app on your phone that like fat shames you? What the hell is that?
You will spontaneously combust in 10 seconds.
You are getting fatter by the minute. Just look at you. Look how large your ass is. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? Put down that donut, you fat pig. I mean, that's what we've come to now. We don't need magazines and society to shame us as women. Now we have to download apps to fat shame us.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm going to have to like figure out, you know, I'm trying to move more. But again, I live in a house. I work in a house. I don't get out much until the weather's a little warmer. So, but then I'm going to rock it like crazy and I'm going to get fit.
Yeah, because that's what you need. You need a constant bracelet reminder, a light, a glow light reminder on your wrist of what you've failed to accomplish every day, at the end of every day.
Isn't that fun?
Like the old light brights. Light bright, making things with light. Remember the light brights?
Yes, I
one
love
of those.
Light brights.
Yeah, so it's like a light bright for your wrist, except it's a fat-shaming light bright.
That would suck. Could you imagine if like
that pink... would suck? New by
Hasbro.
New by Hasbro. The fat shaming light bright for your fat sedentary children who play too many video games.
Light bright, making things with light. Da 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 da.
Get up, Sally. You're too fat. You haven't worked out enough today. Get away from the video games. Put down that controller and get outside, fatso.
Stop eating the light bright pieces. Put that down.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that, wow. Mm-hmm. Fat shaming light bright. Coming out next Christmas. Should be a big hit.
Coming out next Christmas.
Wait. You should see if there's a review for fat shaming light bright on Amazon.
Oh, okay. Hang on.
I'm... Okay, so... As you know, last week we were having technical difficulties, Keke and I, with AT&T. I had AT&T out here twice this week. Twice.
No, I hate them. So it makes my blood boil just thinking about AT&T. I was so angry.
But the guy comes in and it's like, I was responsible for editing the last show that we did. And I was on a deadline and I knew that I had to download it to my iPad so I could edit it while the internet was down here. So, I mean, it was my window of opportunity to do it. So I look at the guy, and he's probably in his mid-30s, and I look at him, I go, hey, listen, I got this podcast to edit. It's adult-themed and uses obscenities.
You could have put your earphones in.
Yeah, no, it's not the same. Would you be offended? He was up and down all through the house anyway. I go, would you be offended? And he's like, oh, no, I wouldn't be offended. I'm like, okay. So, on last week's show, we were talking about the Walmart couple and how they had that proposal and then they had gotten arrested. And right as he's walking through my living room to go out to the truck to get something, I'm reading the line about how the girl, they were arrested for the stealing the thongs and the sex oral candy. And right as he's at my door, he goes, I want to know what sex oral candy is. And he walks out the door and I totally started laughing because I'm like, oh my God, this is exactly, I didn't really think of it at that point. So he comes in and I stopped editing and he's asking me and I'm telling about the Pop Rocks and all this stuff. And we're totally laughing. And he was here for about another hour, and I'm not sure what he heard or didn't hear. But by the time he came back up, I said, well, if you want to hear what happens to the rest of it, you have to, you know, listen to our show. He's like, I would totally love to listen to your show.
Tune in.
So I gave him the name. So hopefully we have a new superfan, John, listening.
Superfan John, listen, you go back to your office and you tell everybody how shitty AT&T is and how much we hate them.
Oh, no. But, I mean, John was awesome. John fixed everything.
Oh, no, John was great. It's not John's fault.
No.
AT&T sucks because they're money-grubbing bastards.
You know, listen, Keek, if he is listening, I'd like to keep him as a listener, and maybe he would encourage his other AT&T friends to listen. Could you ixnay on the ad bay octay of AT&T, please?
They know. They work for the giant corporation. They know AT&T sucks.
All right. Well, listen, our
well, welcome. Welcome, Superfan John.
Our listenership is down to like 24. We need to crank this show back up.
We just do it for ourselves. Nobody cares.
And I listen to it 24 times a week.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got this message from Superfan Christine, I think, because I hope she listens to the show. But there's a woman who is a professional dick photographer.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What
Come
she
again?
Do? What does she do?
And again? And again?
Her dick pics.
Well, I'm sorry?
What does she do with said dick pics?
Well, she actually is...
Are they selfies?
No. Her name is Soraya Dulbaz, and she's an Iranian-Canadian immigrant living in New York. And she said that over a period of time, she'd gotten her fair share of dick pics, and her single friends had as well. And they would show them to each other and compare these dick pics that they had received. And she said that many of them varied in quality depending on the guy and the relationship.
Oh, my God. I was right. She takes dick pics for other people. So when they sext their girlfriends or whoever it is they're having sex with, dicks look the best that they could possibly be.
It's better. She said gay guys really do take the best dick pics, though. So there you go, straight guys. Apparently the gay guys know how to take a good dick pic.
Of course they do. Is that surprising to anyone?
So she says, I thought it would be funny to treat dick pics like a high fashion photo shoot. So I put clothes on the penises and the rest is history. She started buying like doll clothing for the penises. And what she does is that she solicits, make sure if you're with a partner, for them to come to the photo shoot. And you go to the photo shoot and your partner acts as your fluffer so that it's not a flaccid penis, so that it's an erect penis. And she literally, there's a video. You see her taking pictures of the genitalia in its tuminescent state.
With doll clothes on?
Some with doll clothes and some without. So it's doll clothes. It's fucking brilliant. I mean, there's all these different costumes for the penis, like in hats and.
And she doesn't. So what does she do? And it's just she takes them for other people?
Well, she takes them for other people. And then what she ended up doing is she took, like, did a mosaic of dick pics to make bigger pieces of art. There's one that I actually really, really like. It's of a nude woman, but it's made up of thousands and thousands of dick pics. I mean, I'll try to show you.
Unfortunately, yeah, show me. I don't think you'd be able to, oh my God, that's awesome.
I'm showing Keek some pictures off this lady's site. It's Dicture pic. Oh, hold on one second. The website is dicturegallery.com, DicturegallerY.com. We'll post it, but.
Because I was going to say, I don't think you can post photos, unfortunately. So, yeah, I mean, obviously you're going to have to post the name of the website because we can't post pictures.
No,
I don't think Facebook lets us post pictures like that. So,
So I'll do that. But what's interesting is I got it via way of the New York Post. So I have their Webster. They did a little video with her, and it was fascinating.
Oh, okay.
So because they actually really show how they do. But I'm like, how fun would that be? How fun would that be? Do you think your dude would let you like get him hard and then put little clothes on him?
No, in like by ourselves, sure, but not like for it with some stranger to take pictures of it.
But it's like a professional photo shoot.
Oh no, he wouldn't. Hang on, let's ask him.
No, when we bring him in, are we about ready to bring him in anyway?
Yeah,
this is time to bring him in. So let's bring him in anyway, and I'll ask him.
Okay,
this is the story that I wanted to share with them anyway.
Okay, hang on. So, Girk. So we were talking about
there's an artist.
an artist
who takes pictures of men's penises. Because part of it is that they think that, you know, men are getting the raw end of the stick, like,
No pun intended.
Right.
Thank you.
Exactly. That that their genitalia is not glamorized in the same manner that women's genitalia is glamorized. So this artist...
The vagina is much better looking than a penis.
Well, I tend to agree with you. But I think penises are...
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
I think penises are pretty. It just depends on what you do with them. So anyway... So she solicits, yeah, so she solicits couples, and then the woman will, like, come in with her dude, and then she's his fluffer so that they can take some really good dick pics. But what she does, dude, is that she dresses them up also in, like, doll costumes. Like,
she gets little outfits and puts it on the... And so Girk wanted to know if you would do that.
Would you do that? If it was just, like, if... Would
for
you
the
go
show?
To,
no.
No. She's oh, my God.
Saying, I mean, I'll take one for the team if you want me to.
I would pay for the photo session. I would absolutely pay for the photo session. And I'd actually fly out to be at the photo session. I don't think I could. Oh, my God. You imagine, like, your little drummer boy costume.
Little drummer boy.
You know how you used to, like, when you were a kid, you'd, like, lay backwards and draw, like, eyes on your chin, you know, and you make all the funny faces?
Apparently, I was wrong.
A penis head is a lot like your chin.
Apparently, I was wrong. She said, would your dude do that? I was like, oh, hell no, he wouldn't do that. With some, like, random stranger taking pictures, he wouldn't do that. You come in here and you're like, yeah, we could draw pictures on it, and we could put eyes, like the little googly eyes on the head. That's great.
If it was in, like, oh, what's the, in the, oh, my gosh, the Japanese, where they have the white mask on and the kimono.
Or, like, the geisha?
The geishas?
No.
No, no, there's a, oh, I forget. Anyway, I'm just thinking, honestly, after I saw this, story.
Look it up. I'll look it up online and show you. Oh, I want to look it up because there's pictures online.
Oh my God, think about it. You could create a whole new business.
It's called
Sock Puppet Penis.
What's it called? It's called Dicture.
Dicture, Dicture Gallery.com.
Dicture Gallery.
But I'm going to send you.
She started because she and all of her girlfriends, they would always compare the dick pics that their guys would send them and the different quality of them and everything and how sometimes the quality wasn't so great. And they did realize, though, that the gays do have some pretty good quality in their dick pics.
Yeah. So
it's not surprising.
Thanks for sharing.
Nope. They're all about the lighting.
It's all about
how you light it.
It's all about shading.
It's all about the shading.
It's contouring with the makeup.
Contouring.
I will also send you the New York Post link that actually has a little video of...
Really? New York Post actually has
it? Yeah, the New York Post did a story because she actually did art with it. She took... Yeah. All the dick pics, and she, like, kind of pixelated them and made a larger picture of a naked woman.
It's really, there's some really cool stuff. So
that's good diction.
Hey, it is good.
Shut up.
Hey, dude, since we got here, finally, can we maybe do, like, sex stories as paramedic? And because I've been dying to hear the story.
Yes,
about
we used to. I gave up after a while because back, if you listen to any of the original episodes, we used to tease doing confessions of a paramedic. And because there's one of my favorite stories.
I can't wait.
That you will now hear.
Yay!
Confessions of a Paramedic, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye, dude. Hi, yeah. Dude. Welcome
Hi.
To the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes,
it's such a glorious day to share this story.
You know
with
the story I want you to tell.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
There's
yeah,
many of them, but there's
started,
one that's my favorite.
Started many, many years ago, before I met Keek.
Yep.
It's a little embarrassing, but...
Not to you.
Yeah, it's... But I was going through EMT school in Northridge, California, and and you know, you start to hear about all these, you know, faces of death, and they teach you all this gross stuff, you know. And when you get into the paramedic world, it's a what they call a blue humor kind of atmosphere where, you know, you learn to make jokes of really intense, you know, serious situations with people. And I remember I was going on my ride-alongs with one of my instructors and for LA City Fire. I won't say where.
Yeah, let's not.
But,
let's not.
But we got a call one day and the police department was actually dispatched. And a lot of times what will happen is the police will come in on scene, they'll secure a scene and everything and make sure that everything's okay and secure for us to enter. And we had sat on the street for about 15, 20 minutes. And, you know, the...
That's a long time to wait, isn't it?
Well, yeah. So, and it was a real sensitive sub... It was a real, real sensitive scene. And when you... Especially when you're dealing with a priest or, you know, someone of the faith, you know? And, of course, we know the Catholic Church is a little twisted. And we sat on scene for about 15 minutes and, you know, the police officer, you know, called in. I remember listening over the radio, you know, saying, this is a sensitive scene. You guys need to, you know, be prepared for what you're about to see. And he said, it's going to be a little shocking. So, you know, please come in and hold your judgments, you know, aside, and please be very professional. And I remember that. And I just remember all of us looking at each other going, what is up? You know, what's up? What could be going on? And your excitement's just building. And, you know, you look for these kind of situations, you know, when you're,
I have to interject the location. Are you at a church or are you at some residence?
No, we're at a residence.
Okay. Okay.
Off a church. So okay.
it was the church residence.
It was the
rectory.
At least I think that's what it was.
Oh, this is so good. So, keep going.
So, of course, you know, my adrenaline's pumping, you know, and it's like, what can I do? What can I do? You know, what can I get? So, you know, my preceptor was just like, you know, just relax, just kind of, you know, stay back. At first he was kind of hesitant to have me go in, but I was like, no, this is what it's all about. I got to go. I can't not, you know, and we had no idea what we were coming in on. And I remember coming in the door and my preceptor, who's like our trainer, they call him preceptors. He was like, stay back, you know, just stay back behind me. You know, and we come in on the scene and everything, and there's the priest is taken back in the other room, and he's just being questioned by the police department, right?
Okay.
And there's a lot going on there, and he's just beside himself, and we come in, you know, and PD kind of escorts us into this back room, and we come into the back room, and I could hear this lady moaning. She was just moaning and kind of screaming in the background, and I'm going, what is going on, right? So the two police officers come in, and, you know, there's a police officer in the room, you know, that's like standing at the head of the lady, and then there's these other two police officers with a blanket over something, and they're holding it, and they're putting a lot of pressure on it, and the lady's just screaming, and I come into the bedroom, and my preceptor just goes, stand back. Well, they pull the cover off, and there's a German Shepherd on this lady, and he just wants to go to town on her, right? And he's behind her, and, you know, she's doggy style, you know, kind of on the bed, but he's like locked onto her from behind, right?
He is fully penetrating her.
He's fully in. He's going to town, right? And he's you know, he's just huffing and puffing.
And they can't get the dog to stop?
Well, they're holding his butt, you know, just trying to keep, you know.
They couldn't get a hose?
No. Okay. No, they couldn't do that. Because apparently what had happened was, he was so big that, you know, and I guess the priest had paid her to have sex with the dog, you know.
She was a prostitute.
She was a prostitute, you know. And that's the story that we got. It could have been any number of scenarios. You know, we didn't know whose dog it was. It could have been her dog, but I thought it was her dog.
That was a bad career choice for her.
Yeah, really bad.
It's a bad career choice.
And for the priest, you know.
But even worse.
But you know.
So wait. So she's.
I just want you to know that everything in my lower region of my body is clamped down.
I know, me too. So the story that they got was the priest paid the prostitute so he could watch.
That's what we got later. Yeah. So this guy was a total perv, you know, like most priests are, you know, total perv. And he paid this prostitute to have sex with
Why couldn't they just pull the German Shepherd off of her?
Well, here's the story. I guess he was so big, and I guess the dog's anatomy is a lot different than a male penis, right? Dogs clamp on, and then they have this thing called a knot. You know,
isn't it like a barb at the end of their penis?
It's like a huge, picture it as, you know, like a, it like swells up to like the size of an orange or a grapefruit. Oh, right?
My God.
Right? So it can't come out. You know? So it can't come out.
It can't come out, right? Until when? Like,
until
when
you until ejaculate?
Until the dog ejaculates and then it shrinks and it comes out. Right? So...
So dogs are basically built to be able to rape other dogs and like until they're able to finish.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's like, you're my bitch till I'm done with you.
Exactly.
And you're not going anywhere.
That's great. Okay. You know? So the dog penetrates. So they thought this would be a good idea because the dog penetrated, the knot grew, and then the dog was not able to finish the knot to go back down.
And normally, I guess, the thing was, is that I guess this has been going on for like over an hour. And I guess when dogs, you know, do their thing and they're done, they're able to, you know, come off. Well, apparently, he caused a bunch of damage to her because she was bleeding, right?
I would think.
Yeah. And not only that, but she had some kind of... anatomy or anatomical reaction to the size of that, and she had clamped down. So
she swelled up.
She swelled up.
Did you have to transport both of them together?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
There was nothing you guys could do on the scene?
Nothing we could do on the scene.
What did they do at the hospital?
No. It was a different story. But anyway, let me get to that.
Okay.
So anyway... You know, we tried a few things, you know, to try...
What'd you try?
We tried a fire extinguisher.
A fire extinguisher?
Yeah, like tried to hit the dog with a fire extinguisher. But there was at least that's, you know, what the PD did.
Yeah.
Right.
But that didn't do anything. And, you know, they didn't want to do any type of manipulation because she was bleeding pretty severely.
Really?
Pretty severely, yeah. So...
Wait, was it vag or anus?
Vag.
It's got to be a vag.
It was vag.
Okay.
Yeah, it was vag.
Because anus. Oh, yeah. God.
So we had to put a backboard underneath her. So slide a backboard underneath her and kind of hold the dog in place for more.
How was the dog not biting you guys at this point?
Oh, the dog was freaking out. Totally freaking out. Right. But we kind of just had to kind of hold. We have these Velcro straps.
Why couldn't they just shoot the dog with some sort of Valium and put it out?
No, they
couldn't just like. That's what I would think.
Like
just
I said,
inject
she,
it and put
she
it to
was
sleep.
So, she I was imagine so, it was such a... She was so clamped down, and she was screaming in agony. I mean, screaming in agony, right?
Oh, God.
So,
oh,
I hear that, yeah.
Yeah, so we had to
just
load
get
her...
to the hospital.
Yeah, we had to load her on a backboard, and it was like, we're taking them both in. There's nothing we can do. So we loaded up, got rolled, kind of helped her in a matter, and took the sheets off, you know, the four corners, and...
Right.
There were like six of us, and we all lifted and slid her onto this backboard. And then we took these Velcro straps and strapped her down. And then we strapped the dog down because the dog just wanted to keep, you know, hammering. And, you know, he'd get calm and then he'd mellow out. But he wasn't so much hammering. He was trying to pull out is what he was trying to do.
Right.
And
at this point, he's like, I want to get the fuck out of here.
I want out of this bitch. Right. So, and.
You know, it's got to be sad because that moment in the priest's mind where he goes, I'm going to have to call somebody. And this isn't going to go well for me. I'm sure he was probably trying to talk her out of it. And she was probably going, you need to call 911. And he was probably thinking, well, maybe we can, let's just think about this for a minute. Everybody calm down. Let's just rationalize
like,
this.
This isn't worth 50 bucks,
you,
fucker.
I'll give you, how about I give you $100 if you and the dog just leave?
Can you guys take off together?
An extra honey if you just maybe scooch out the back door.
If you guys could make it
a couple of blocks down and then I'll call 911 for you.
And you guys can huddle together and...
If you could walk down a couple... Okay, so anyway,
well,
so go
apparently
ahead.
What had happened was there was so much commotion and she was screaming so loud that neighbors heard her screaming.
Oh,
and the
and
screaming
called,
is what
called
PD.
Oh.
And then PD showed up and was like, oh, shit. Get medics, you know. So it was like, boom. So we're
See,
on.
He
scene.
Probably didn't have much.
You know,
he didn't have much control over
he
that.
He didn't
the
really
neighbors
have
were like,
any control.
The priest is killing
Holy
someone
crap.
In the rectory
yeah.
next door. Okay, so anyway,
yeah.
go ahead.
So
you get them all loaded up.
Yeah. So we get her on the backboard and we put her on the gurney. And by this time, there's a huge commotion going on outside. I mean, there's
oh yeah. How do you get them into
everywhere
into the ambulance
right?
Without
and
seeing.
It's this is a sensitive subject, so. And we got to roll her out. So we had to take these big, they're, like mass casualty sheets. They're yellow on the outside. And we had to, all the guys, you know, got, you know, around us and kind of covered everything up and put this big shroud, and we kind of got her to the ambulance. But when it came to get in the ambulance, we had to get in, and there were people everywhere on the street.
And the cops PD
was keeping people back, but you can imagine by this time there were about 100 people around this.
Sure.
Thank God there were no camera phones back then.
She never stopped screaming. Oh. She was screaming when we brought her out into the ambulance.
Oh, God.
And then the sheet dropped, and I swear to God, you could hear this. You know, from all
the
people.
Because
they saw her and the dog, you know? So everyone's freaking out, right?
So what was the point of the sheet? What was the point of the sheet if the guys couldn't, like, they couldn't stand on either side of the doors
and
hold the sheets?
Well, you know how people are. It's like people who are like, they want to see what's going on, so they like follow you. But and there was a lot of PD. There were probably 25, 30 officers there. And they were keeping people back, but you could only you couldn't walk with this huge sign that says "Keep out." You know, I mean, and the ambulance was parked in such a way, you know, next to the back door, that the back was exposed to the street, and people saw it. You know, and it was like, oh my God, you know, it was like
so
it got super quiet, and it was like, of course, I swear you could have heard a pin drop. You know, and we're loaded into the back of the ambulance, and we draped the dog. And slammed her in and shut the door, and then we took off code 3 to the hospital. The biggest scene was trying to come into the hospital emergency room.
Oh, God.
That was unreal.
Why?
I mean,
why?
It was unreal. Because here you're coming in, we're coming into, what was it? It was Northridge Medical Center. And it's a busy, bustling ER, you know? Probably 120 beds, people outside, waiting room, and it's just like a huge, just open area, right? And we had to bring him in. So, of course, there was a lot of prep ahead of time, a lot of sensitivity, you know, like, hey, you know, close off this area of the ER. We want total, you know, privacy, everything coming in. And they had prepped an OR, you know, because they were going to...
I'm sure.
They weren't even going to mess around and bring her into the main room. They had prepped an OR and everything, and...
They were going to surgically remove the dog?
If need be, you know.
God.
But she was bleeding, so we had to start a couple, you know, large bore IVs, because the vagina bleeds a ton.
Right.
I mean, it bleeds a ton. And she bled all over the... I mean, she was bleeding everywhere. So whatever happened, she was just torn up.
Jesus.
So we come into the... We come out, you know, of course we had police escort all the way to the hospital. They were stopping traffic signs, and we had 3 or 4 police cars that were driving code 3 with us to the hospital. And we come in and we get her out. Not a lot of commotion going on. There's sheets. There's like a line of sheets that are just lining the walls of the ER. It's so no one can hear anything, but she's still screaming, right? But this time, and she's crying and everything, and everyone hears the commotion, and we come in and the dog lets out this huge, like, roar, you know, like that. And everyone freaked out. What the fuck is that? You know?
Right.
And a couple nurses poked their head through, and all you could hear was, oh, shit. You know, like this. Because by this time, we didn't have a sheet. We were just running, right?
Right.
And of course, a bunch of nurses and people followed us, you know, into the
everyone
ER.
Everyone
wanted to see what the hell was going on. And this poor girl, man, she was just... crying and sobbing, and just, you talk about the worst moment in your life. And we came in and, you know, slid her over on the gurney and everything. And, you know, it was like we had started, gave our report and everything. And, you know, and it was just like, oh my God, this is such a horrible moment in this woman's life. And for the priest.
And I get to be there
and
for
the dog.
And the dog.
That's why I kept telling you. You wait till you hear this story. A priest, a prostitute, and a dog walk into a bar.
Tell me, did they have
what
to
happened?
Euthanize the dog?
Yes, so what happened?
I don't know what happened to the dog, to be honest
with
you. I don't know what happened to the dog.
They wouldn't have to euthanize the dog. They could have
I know the girl was arrested. I know the priest was arrested.
Did it to the dog.
Oh, yeah, and solicitation of prostitution. But no story ever ended up in the papers.
How'd they do
and
that?
And I'm sure this went straight to the Pope.
That's
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure it went to the top, you know? And they did everything they could to bury it, I'm sure, because nothing ever was reported There were news people.
What happened to her? What happened to her is, I know she got arrested, but I know you as a paramedic, you were always telling me you'd go to the hospital and do follow-ups on people. What happened to her, like, medically?
I don't know. I didn't find out. I know she had to be taken into surgery. I know that she was bleeding a lot. Yeah, no doubt. And beyond that, like I said, I was still in my training phase, so the follow-up wasn't really there because I wasn't doing regular rounds or anything that. Yeah. So, but my very first call was that call.
Did you drink heavily when you got off ship?
Later in life, yes.
Yeah.
Later in life, yeah. Yeah. Because there was all kinds of crazy stuff that happened to people sexually.
How long were you an EMT?
I was an EMT for 3 years and then a paramedic for 7.
Okay.
So, yeah. So 10 years, wow, all in all.
Well, thank you for sharing that, yeah. Glorious. Holy, that just, I'm going to have nightmares.
Right?
So we'll have to bring it back because, you know, you just can't, literally, like, I can never unhear that story.
He's got some, but the crazy thing about it is he's got some horrifying ones, too. Like, do you ever read James Patterson?
Yeah.
And you know how James Patterson books get, like, some of the psycho killers are, like, crazy? Or do you ever read, what's the other one with the, not James Patterson, but there's another one who, like, Along Came a Spider, and is that all James Patterson,
that's,
too?
That's James Patterson, yeah.
So he's got these, like, you know, serial killers, and you read these stories, and you read, like, what if you read them, they always do, like, chapters that are inside the psycho killer's brain, and chapters that are, like, what's inside the cop's brain, and you always kind of read it and go, these are great, and it's fiction, and, you know, it's good horror, but, like, that shit doesn't happen in real life. He's told me some stories, one or two stories. There's two stories, definitely, that he's told me that just chill you to the bone, because... That stuff,
I can't wait.
That, well, I don't know about the nasty ones, because these are not sex stories. These are like, could have been a chapter out of Along Came a Spider
I know.
By James Patterson. Like, gross.
Even if it's privately, I still got to hear them.
Yeah, okay.
But on that note, dude, thank you for being on our show. Yeah. And we are definitely going to have you back this year, because it seems like we may have our shit together to do that.
Nice. Do we, though? Do we?
Well, we're teasing yet again. But it's also the end of our show.
It is the end of the show.
Wah, wah.
So take that along with your week. If you're religious, the
you
next time you're at church,
something.
Look at your priest and go, huh, would he?
This story makes my scratched bloody nipple nothing. Yeah, it makes it absolutely.
Kirk's wearing her nails a little bit longer, and she accidentally scratched and bloodied her own nipple when she was getting into the shower.
I have a band-aid on my boots.
Yeah, now don't you feel like a big fat baby? You're like, oh,
what a
such a baby.
Yeah.
What a loser.
Big loser
I have a little bit of blood on my nipple.
I have
my
blood on my nipple.
Bleeding.
This woman's uterus was basically
ripped on the outside
out.
Of her body. Yeah.
All right, you guys. Well, hey, thanks for
have
listening.
Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. Sure hope you join us next week for another exciting adventure of Double Bubble with Girk and Keek. We want to thank Dude for just sharing that great story with us. We love you guys. We'll see you next week. Have a wonderful time.
Bye.
You know what? Go look at some dick pics. It'll lighten up
the
whole day.
Go look at some dick pics. Yep.
Bye, guys. Thank you.